بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah salaam and salam be upon the Prophet and the believers of his noble family and the noble companions and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. How can we united all the Ummah in our deen and faith? يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام says, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالة. My Ummah does not unite on misguidance. My Ummah does not unite on misguidance. So, unity in numbers, irrespective of the creeds and deviations, unity in numbers based upon numbers, irrespective of the creeds and methodologies and innovations and everything, this is something which cannot stand to erect or to hold. This crumbles easily. Actually, it is a disarray more than unity. Unity of bodies, more disarray. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. And on the day of Hunayn, the battle of Hunayn, when you were proud of your numbers, it did not avail them. And yet they were on great good. So the true unity of the Ummah, the true unity that will bring the Ummah, is the unity on the Deen. Unity on the Deen. And the Deen is represented by the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي, that which I am upon and my companions are upon. That's the true teachings of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is the criteria which will bring the unity of the Ummah, truly. So the Ummah are only those who follow the way of the Salaf. Naam ya akhi, this the Ummah represents the truth. And you don't expect the Ummah, meaning every single Muslim on the face of the earth, will be 100% on the way of the Salaf. But this is in general. This is in general, that the leading and the most effective will be the ones who will bring closer the rest of the Muslims, as-sawad al-a'zam, the greatest majority on this time. You don't imagine that everyone will be Abu Bakr and Umar. No, not even after Abu Bakr and Umar were there like Abu Bakr and Umar. But it's closeness and closeness. The more close the people return to their deen, then the victory of Allah will come by changing many things for their benefit. And then until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees this in us happening, then it remains only as you see, disarray and disunity. So many people call to the way of the Salaf, all have same aqeedah. So, alhamdulillah, we differ on issues of dunya. It could be, and that's what I said, will not expect that everyone will be amongst them, like on the only differ on issues, be like Abu Bakr and Umar and the rest of the companions, no? That's exactly why I said that statement, because the callers to the way of the Salaf, some of the brothers and or sisters think that until every person becomes like Abu Bakr or Umar, nothing will change. This is incorrect. In the general sense, yes. Understanding of Abu Bakr and Umar, which is the way of the Salaf, naam. In the general sense, yes. People can still have varied degrees of attachment to the deen. Some stronger than others. But we look at the overall picture, the overall situation. And that's why the role of the people who go to the path of the righteous predecessors is to exert the effort in correcting and bringing more of the good. That's right. That's right, brother, Rainy and Sunni. That's right. That sums it up, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most just and most merciful. When He sees this in us happening, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise will be fulfilled. Is not the fitna of today and the innovation, ignorance, and stop the call of jihad, I mean, and establishing sharia as Abdul Wahab was calling to? Who's Abdul Wahab was calling to? What did Abdul Wahab call to? Please write. Go ahead. Yes, Muhammad Abdul Wahab. What did he call for? Establishing Tawheed and Jihad. Tayyib. What's wrong with this? No one is against establishing Tawheed. And no one is against establishing Jihad. La. You see, Yahi, the issue of Jihad is established until the day of resurrection. No one can negate it. But there are times where it requires conditions. And conditions have to be made, and impediments are to be taken out. This was the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything, and including jihad. You see, including everything. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted jihad at times, and he didn't conduct it at other times. And this does not mean that he didn't establish the jihad. Jihad has conditions, rulings. It's not just chaotic. And jihad is not for the cause of fighting. Fighting is not the objective behind jihad. Killing is not the objective behind jihad. Jihad is to have the deen of Allah prevailing. To have the deen of Allah prevailing. And when the Muslims are in weak states and not prepared for it, then in this case, you cannot be able to truly, truly, truly establish it. Otherwise, it will lead to defeat of Muslims, and the defeat will not be looked upon as a defeat for Muslims, but rather for Islam. And then in this case, the objective of jihad is being ruined by ill preparation, and the preparation requires preparation on Iman, on true Tawheed, and then the preparedness which the Ummah will be able to. Only when these things are met, then the real and true jihad to establish the deen of Allah and to prevail over shirk is the thing which every believer looks for and attain, looks for to attain and hope to share in. So don't misunderstand us in any way when we say these things at all. Anyone who negates the jihad or denies the jihad and its principle is not a Muslim in the first place. The issue, however, even akhi, in cases where jihad is required to be a repelling force, in these situations it requires also, no problem, I was going even to answer this. You look at the situation in terms of the principles. If inside even a Muslim country, which is even raided and taken by kuffar in any time or any place, and the Muslims in this country, they have the duty to defend and to make jihad of repulsion, jihad of repulsion against the occupier, the kafir and everything. But if they are unable and they don't have a clear banner, and such that the confrontation with their enemy, the kafir, will lead to their destruction, such that they will not be able to inflict any effective harm on the kafir, in this case, even it is allowed for them to run. How about that? In accordance with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't throw yourself into at-tahluka, destruction. Also, in the state of weakness, in the state of weakness of the ummah, it has to work to strengthen itself. And it cannot strengthen itself except by turning to deen. And if we want to jump over this, we're going to be broken in our necks, not one time, not two times, not three times, not four times, but every time we're going to do this, when we are not ready to be with Allah truly, then it will be a wishful thinking. It will be only a driving emotional force leading to our defeat after defeat after defeat. And this is what's happening in many parts of the Muslim world. Because the ummah is not right with Allah. And when the ummah is not right with Allah, it's not going to take victory. Be assured. The promise of Allah is fulfilling. When you aid His deen, He will help you. Will give you victory. Other than that, it's wishful thinking and destruction. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, when the ummah is in a state of weakness, it acts with the verses of perseverance. And when the ummah is in the state of strength, then it acts with the commitment to strength and jihad and da'wah. These are the conditions. Otherwise, as you can tell, misery on top of misery. Misery on top of misery. And losses on top of losses. Because of early confrontations and unpreparedness of the ummah still. Divided, disarray, shirk, spread. And we want to have victory? It's just amazing. And if you come and talk about these things to correct the bases, they tell you, no, we go to the top. Let's cut the head of the rulers. They are kafirs. And they'll get these big statements. You can't change from top, akhi. You build a building, and you go from top, it will crumble. It will fall in your head. You establish the bases. And the basis is correcting the deen. Correcting the deen. We don't know علم الغيب أخي until we establish the deen in ourselves and around us. And you know, when we say these things, people say, oh, people, you want it for how long? We tell them Nuh 950 years. Then they tell you, oh, you want it like Nuh, that's too long. Subhanallah. Our Prophet says عليه الصلاة والسلام ولكنكم قوم تستعجلون. But indeed you are people who hasten. You want to see the results. And when you do that, you will fumble and fumble until fall on your head, of course, many times. And still the ummah is not learning lessons from these matters. Not learning lessons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. Learn pure Islam. Learn Islam. What about the fatwa of the Saudi scholars? Rest up. What is rest? What is rest? Help? Oh, scholars? What about the fatwa of the Saudi scholars? Reference to the jihad in Iraq? I don't know whom do you mean. If you are talking about the 26 or so, these are thinkers. These are thinkers. These are not scholars. So be assured.
these are thinkers, not scholars. And most of them are politicians. Learn Islam. Who are the scholars who must speak to in these times of the fitna? Yaakhi, the scholars are known. These scholars are qualified with the following. These scholars are qualified. Number one you look for is the qualification. One time I met a delegation from England during Hajj, and this was in 1418 of Hijra, after Hijra. And we were sitting in Mina, and I was asked the same question, as who constitutes the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah in our times? And this was 1418. I said, if Ibn Baz and Al-Albani and Ibn Uthaymeen are not Ahl al-Sunnah of our times, then I don't know who they are. Rahimahumullah. And I say the same thing now. If these scholars, these are the top ones, these are the reliable, if these scholars and those who are like them on their path in our times, and whose path goes way to the Prophet's path, if they are not Ahlul Sunnah, then I don't know who are Ahlul Sunnah. And in no way this means infallibility. In no way this means exaggeration in them. In no way this means infallibility. But we recognize that they are on the same principles. The Quran, the authentic Sunnah, in accordance with the understanding of the Sahaba and their followers. Those who are on their path, those who are on this path, their errors are minimal compared to those who are not. Remember this. And this is my advice. What I meant was, who are the scholars after those you have mentioned that you must refer to? Now, that's why I said, ya Lian, those who are on their way, on their path, and from them, alhamdulillah, there are, in our times, scholars and senior students of knowledge who are on this path. And they are not limited to Saudi Arabia, although more apparent because of the establishment of Tawheed in the land. But they are here. They are also outside Saudi Arabia as well, who are on this path. There are in Yemen, there are in Jordan, there are in Egypt, there are in Pakistan, there are in India. Alhamdulillah. There is in the West. Alhamdulillah. And one point I would like to add, learn to you. And then Brother Rashid, you can take the question. I would like to add the same following. Even if there is differences amongst those who are on this path, my advice for everyone who is keen about benefiting and learning the true deen is to leave these differences to the ulama, and not indulge in them, making them the food and the drink in every setting and in every circle. This will harden your hearts and will make you overlook the benefits, and you will make your heart harsh, not accommodating the truth, even if it comes from someone who may differ with you on some issue, although they are on the same path. So we have to have tolerance and not to exceed the limit. Otherwise, we're going to be doing the same thing as the deviant sect.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.